Good to be here. I don't know if you realize it, but all the songs you picked today was such a blessing to me. If we could just read them, I think you'd have the message that I was going to bring. It was a real blessing. I appreciated what you had, Greg. May God bless you for that. And thank you for bringing that. And on prayer, LaVon, I don't know how we can ever emphasize the need of prayer. But it takes faith, not just prayer. That we would have the faith behind our prayers. We actually need a faith that believes that God will move. We all know He can. But when we pray, let's believe that He will. make a big difference. It's good to see everybody here today. I'd like to greet you in the name of our Lord. I tremble today. I know there's no way I can bring honor to God's word that He is deserving of. There's no way I can. My prayer would be that He would help me, that we can worship the Father and the Son today. This is the day we call Easter, Easter Sunday. Yep, Friday is past now, Alan. This day, more people go to church in the United States than any other day of the year. I'm glad to hear that people still believe in a resurrection, or hopefully that's why they went to church today. But this is the biggest day, church day of the year. But thank God, it didn't make any difference to us. That's not why we're here. We're here because of the first day of the week when we worship the Lord. And we do that every week, thank God. I feel a need to pray, and if you would want to stand with me, I would think it would be a blessing. Heavenly Father, first of all, I'd like to take the opportunity to thank you. I can't begin to thank you in the way that I should. But Lord, I want to thank you for the many blessings and the many things that you have bestowed upon us this day, that you've already brought to us, and the thoughts that you've brought to us, and your word that you brought to us. Thank you, Father, your mercy and kind. Father, we have many children here that are with us today, and we would that their angel would always behold your face, and that you would care for them and watch over them, and that they would grow up in a nurturing and believe and live for you all the days of their life. Thank you, Father. We also want to pray for the youth that we have here. Oh, Lord, that their hearts can be turned to you and not to folly or not to the things of this world, the pleasures and sports and the things that are useless to our lives, but that they could give themselves wholly and totally up to you and live for the God of heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be with them. And parents, oh God, give us holy and godly parents that they can teach their children and raise them up to the nurturing and admonition of the Lord. Oh God, please bless them. That we can raise up a godly seed today. And the elders that oversee us here, this congregation or this fellowship or this, we call it a church that we go to, that you would strengthen them and encourage them, Father, that they could walk before us godly and holy and uprightly. Oh God, thank you for that. Those that feed the sheep and the lambs, Father, oh, that we would have a united body here with one accord, that we would think the same things, Father, that we would speak the same things, and that we would love the Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father. Lord, remember thy tender mercies and loving kindness. Lead us in your truth, Father. Lead us in your truth. That your truth would prevail. Father, let us remember the poor and the needy, the sick. Oh, God. Heal the sick, will you, Father? Be ever near to them. Father, help us that we could humble ourselves before a holy and almighty God. That we could be humble. Would you direct our thoughts? Would you be with me, please, God, as I try to bring forth your word and your truth? Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Give us power and wisdom and strength, understanding, Lord. We strengthen us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this opportunity. I trust, Lord, that you will be with us and guide and direct us. And we just pray this in your holy, precious, and wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. I kind of wanted to bring a message of the resurrection. I was asked to bring a message of the resurrection, but I thought it'd be great to bring some of Jesus' life and bring it down to his death and then the resurrection. And so pretty soon, I don't have enough information, you know, and then pretty soon I don't know what to do with it all. And I realize that the day is too short and I'm way too small. We know that people set out there in darkness. In Zebulun, is it? But they're shown a great light to the people that sat in darkness. John the Baptist come baptizing. Jesus was baptized. John had to leave the scene. Jesus preached. Jesus taught. Jesus healed. Jesus led. Jesus came to his own. They received him not. His own did not receive him. Jesus didn't have much in this world. When it comes to material things, he borrowed a donkey. He rode to Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey. A triumph entry. He cried. He cried over that city that would not hear him, that would not hear his word. How often he wanted to take him under his wings, like a hen with her chicks. But they would not. They would not have it. He prayed for them, but a father. We come down. There's lots of things to talk about till we get there, but we come to the garden. The one night when he was praying in agony. He sweat drops of blood. We know they come to take him that night. We know they mistreated him terribly by scourgings, false accusations, and treated him shamefully as anybody you could. And you can think it was about as shameful as anybody could ever be treated. The only crime he had was he come to save me and you. No other crime had he committed. And I guess that's not a crime, but... That's why he come, and that's why he suffered. So let us meditate a little bit. I don't know what Jesus went through, but they scourged him. Why would he allow them to beat him like that? To pluck out his beard. And smite him. They thrust a spear in his side. They hung him on a cross. Father, forgive them, he cried. They know not what they do. They spit in his face. They treated him shamefully. They mocked him. They stripped him of his clothes. They left him naked. Put him to an open shame. Why? He did it for me, and he did it for you. You know, they really didn't kill Jesus. He gave his life. A ransom. A ransom for many, for those who believe. But you know, in all this, it never caused him to open his mouth. He never reviled. He never spoke back. He never opened his mouth. They ripped this robe off his back after it was his bloody scourged back. He put a crown of thorns on his head. That didn't bring anything from the lips of Jesus. He didn't speak. Not a single utterance. Neither did the spitting, the plucking of the beard, smiting with reeds, rods. But when God Almighty when God Almighty turned his back so that he could die, he cried, "Why?" Why did you forsake me? He came unto his own. He loved them. He healed the sick. He opened the eyes of the blind. He raised the dead. He fed them. He died for them. They crucified him. He was a Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world. My sins also. He is the Lamb. We know that after he died on the cross, we know that there was a great earthquake. And the temple and the veil, where only the high priest could go behind once each year, tore from the top to the bottom. Opening the way for me and you, brother, that we can come to him and worship him face to face. Joseph of Arimathea, he was considered some would say that he was a rich man. And it does say that he was buried amongst the rich. Come to ask Pilate for his body. Pilate, when he asked if he'd been sometime dead, why, from the centurions, when they said he was, He granted him permission to take the body of Jesus. And he took it down and he laid it in his own tomb. Nicodemus, one gospel says that Nicodemus came to help him. He brought 100 pounds of spices and such to anoint the body. He not only had to borrow a donkey, he borrowed somebody's tomb also. He became poor for us. But that was Friday. On the first day of the week. Let us meditate on this now. This event, which took place, it shook the earth. And it veiled us up. It was powerful. I don't know if there's any more power ever displayed in the universe than the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, years ago, I'll start that later. Here, Matthew is the only one again. He's the only one that recorded the earthquake when Jesus died. And he's the only one of the Gospels that records an earthquake again when he resurrected. And it says in Matthew that an angel of the Lord come down and rolled the stone away and sat on it. And of course, you know, we know how it was whenever they crucified him. They put a seal on the stone because of what he had said, that he would rise again. And as I was talking to Alan last night, he mentioned that the angel didn't have to rule, he didn't roll the stone away so Jesus could come out of the tomb. He rolled the stone away so we could see it. He rolled the stone away so we could see in the tomb that it was empty. Because we didn't have to move it to get Jesus out. He was known. He was not in any captive whatsoever. Matthew 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was as the lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became a dead man. The angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus. He was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you unto Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go unto Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come in the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then 11 disciples went away into Galilee unto a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Reading some scripture here in Luke 24:13 through 35. I think this is the only apostle that has this account where the disciples went to Emmaus after the resurrection. So I'll read it here. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, about 7 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And you know, for the longest time, I could never figure out why they didn't recognize Jesus. But it says here that he must have disguised himself or something. But he caused their eyes to be holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered, Answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known all the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And he said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that he had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe, all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in and tarried with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened the scriptures to us? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered there, and them that were with them. We might read a little more later, Will. Saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. I had a desire to maybe expound on some of these things and such. But there is something about reading the Word of God. It is self-inspiring. But to come back here after he'd made himself known, it said, Did not our hearts burn within us? The closer we walk to our Lord and Savior, the more we experience a burning of the heart. I think it's just a witness. We do love the Lord Jesus Christ. That causes our heart to burn. We might go on into John here. We know after all these things here, we know that Apostle Peter decided to go fishing again. Other disciples went with him. And they fished all night. And they caught nothing. I believe I can relate to that. But when morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And verse 4. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved says unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat onto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. The other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laying thereupon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, Bring the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. The New King James Version says that they would come and eat breakfast. They called this breakfast because they had fished all night, and in the morning they were eating fish. I suppose that wasn't unusual for them to eat fish for breakfast. In fact, that's when I was growing up, we always had our fish for breakfast. I don't remember hardly ever eating fish any other meal except breakfast. So they had breakfast there with the Lord. And we know how Peter had 3 times denied the Lord. And we see here. So when they had dined, Jesus thus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? And he says unto him, Yea, Lord. Thou knowest that I love thee. He says unto him, Feed my lambs. He says unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He says unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he says unto him, Feed my sheep. He says unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall lead thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Signifying what death Peter would die. This spake he, signifying what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he says unto him, Follow me. We talked a little bit about the resurrection. I thought we should maybe talk about the ascension. We ascended up to heaven. Acts 1, starting in verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come unto you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, 2 men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And I guess what I would start saying earlier and stopped is that before Christ, all the years before Christ, he was promised. They were promised a Savior. They were looking for Jesus to come. They expected that Jesus would come and look for him. Today, we're still looking for him to come. We're waiting for Jesus to come. He won't become to be spit on or mistreated like he came. But he will come as our Lord and our Savior and our God. He will be Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And he will be honored in that way. So let us look for him with joy and expectation in our hearts, knowing full well that all the promises that he's ever made are being fulfilled or will be fulfilled. None will be left. We see in Luke, it seems to me like at the end of Luke, he was trying to keep his disciples together because they were promised the Holy Ghost, and they told him this, where to go. I'm going to just take a look at that. They returned to Jerusalem and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Because they were promised the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. So they stayed together there for some time. And it talks about it here in Acts. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it set upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because every man heard them speak in his own language. What would it be like to be living today without the ascension, without the promise of his return? What would it be like to be living today without the Pentecost? Would we still be powerless, living in sin? But you know, there had to be a death before a resurrection. There had to be a death before a resurrection. That is still the same way today for me and you. If we have not died, if we have not died to ourselves, how can there be a resurrection? We want to resurrect with Jesus Christ in a newness of life. We want to be buried with him in baptism and risen. So that the power that raised Jesus Christ, the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, would also raise us up so that that power would dwell in us, that we're neither fruitless or barren, but that we would bear fruit for our Lord and Savior, Jesus, as He dwells in us. As I was studying for the message and thinking one night, this account came to me about we can find it there in Matthew 20:20. A little out of context here, maybe, I don't know. It says, "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children, with her sons, worshiping him, and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? And she says unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom." You know, I used to read that and look at that, and I used to think that she was pretty bold or brave, or I thought she was kind of out of her place to come to Jesus and ask a question or a request like that. But the thing we have to realize that in our heart and in the apostles' heart back then, they were still looking at Jesus Christ to fulfill the earthly kingdom. They were still looking for Him to overtake the Romans, and that He would be the king. And so if one of them would sit on the right hand and one on the left, one could have been probably the second in power and the third in power or whatever. Whoever would sit beside a king, an earthly king, would obviously have some kind of, granted some kind of favor. Jesus said, but Jesus answered and said, "Ye know not what you ask." But Jesus did not answer them like it would be an earthly kingdom. But He did ask him a question that I marvel about. "Are ye able to drink the cup that I shall drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they say unto him, "We are able." They say unto him, "We are able." You know, I would almost expect Jesus to say, "I don't think you are." But He didn't. I marvel at His answer, what He said to them. He said unto them, "Ye shall indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with." Can we answer? Is Jesus still asking us if we're worthy? Can we answer, "We are able to drink of the cup that you drank out of and to be baptized with the baptism that you were baptized with"? We see Zebedee's mom, our wife, come and ask for the boys one place. It doesn't include her name. But I wonder what happened to Zebedee. Maybe he was still fishing. But as we are mothers and fathers, we would that our children could all answer this question in a right way and say, "We are able." Let us live that kind of a life, that we are able. To drink of that cup and be baptized with the baptism that He was baptized with. That Revelation 1:5, Jesus Christ who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That is the gospel. And has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Revelation 4:11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they were created. I want to thank you for listening this morning. May God bless you. May we dwell together in peace today. Thank you.